Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braden. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going on. It's Lane Kiffin Thursday. Every damn day, we're talking about Lane Kiffin this. They don't even have a game this weekend. You know what?
Yeah, no, I was starting to think. I was putting the scores together. I was like, shit, did I not put Ole Miss down here? I was like, oh, wait, they got a bye week. We're just talking about Lane Kiffin all week. So, hey, man, we got a great matchup. I mean, obviously, there's some cupcake games coming up, right? We all like cupcakes, some more than others. But I will tell you, brother, I'm looking at a few of these. Few of these games look like they're going to be absolutely dynamite. So I'm looking forward to a wild, wild weekend. And I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm going to need to load up with a little Tennessee legend, I think.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
A scale of 1 to Tennessee legend. How likely are we going to get an upset? Because I got a feeling. I got a feeling. These are always the weekends, and I'm talking crazy upset.
Yeah.
I think it's happening.
I think it's happening. I think there's going to be somebody that says, we've hit rock bottom, but then they're like, oh, shit, this is rock bottom. So, yeah, someone's about to get it, and I don't know who it is. And there may be there's some dreams on the line, Mike. There's some college football playoffs on the line this weekend, and that may be ruined as well.
And tell them, Shane, when your team gets upset and they're down in the dumps, best way to get over it?
There's a place. Everybody knows it. It's called Tennessee Legend Distillery, and it is going to be jumping tomorrow. So, hey, I'm telling you, Mike, they got two locations in Sevierville. I'll be at one of them. They got one location in Nashville. Mike's going to be at one of them, right? And hopefully we'll get to see some cousins at one of those spots. And if you come in, let them know you're a cousin. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you'll get a bonus gift as well. I'll be at the one by the Tarjay at 7 p.m. tomorrow. And, Mike, when are you going to be in?
I don't even know. So I wish you didn't say that. So who knows? But we'll see.
Tuned.
I'm going to try to get down there. I got I'm going to be on Paul Feinbaum tomorrow. So they're coming here to Nashville, and I'm kind of waiting to see when they need me, when they're going to ban me from there.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on all that.
It's up in the air. So maybe Mike will tweet it and let you know when he's near there. So, hey, any rate, that's where we'll be tomorrow. And if you like to paint, shit, come on over to me, and that's what we'll be doing. So, looking forward to it. Looks forward to seeing all the cousins, man.
How funny would it be if I rolled up Tennessee Legend with Paul Feinbaum?
That would be great. That would be great. He may never leave.
He's a Tennessee Legend himself, you know what?
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. We got a lot of games to predict here.
Oh, yeah.
But before we do it, I want to remind the cousins that we're in last place here. Shout out, Steven. He's in the lead. We got the cousins just behind Steven. This is an opportunity, Shane, for the cousins to catch Steven. I'm three spots behind Steven. You're seven spots behind. So, hey, this is an opportunity for you to catch up to the pack, Shane. And shout out, I kind of screwed up with the picks this week. I forgot to ask anybody, but we got cousin Rusty Powell coming in at the 11th hour.
Rusty!
He gave his predictions. We'll reveal those at the end. And hopefully, Shane, he can keep the momentum going for the cousins, because there's pressure on old Rusty to keep his lead, because cousin Shane's coming for you.
Well, to be honest, I'm just rooting for the cousins now. Yeah, if you can't beat them, join them, you know? So, hey, I'm looking forward to it. And I think too long I'd lead with, like, how I just my gut feel, you know? And my gut's usually wrong. So I went more logically this weekend, saying, hey, A team, B team, this is exactly what should happen. And I think I absolutely nailed it. I think the picks are perfect.
So it's almost like whatever your gut's telling you, you're like, I'm going to flip it.
Yeah, because I have a tendency to do that, like wishing this to happen, right? And if I think about it and I pray about it, and I'm like, you know, this could happen. I could see this happening. And then it doesn't happen. And I'm like, why did I pick that? If if I'm willing it that hard, then I probably should have picked the other team. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Oh, snap, Shane.
Yeah.
We got Tolkien's back. Trey Wallace. Hey, shout out. Trey Wallace, he was on the show. Go check it out as soon as this is over. It's doing really well. I think it's about to hit 10,000 views, so that's a pretty good interview, day one. And then we got our buddy Pat Smith, WJOX. We're going to drop that interview tomorrow, so the channel's loaded. But this is what Tolkien's talking about. Trey was wrong. On the show, he said only three people know what Kiffin will do. There are four. He ain't leaving. Say it, Mike. Say it. Hey, this is a great question from Mr. Sip. Appreciate you, buddy. $10. Which cupcake has the best chance of pulling an upset, Shane?
Upset? I'm going...
No, he's saying cupcake, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, cupcake. Well, I'm looking at Carolina, man. That's the one I'm at. Yeah. Shane Beamer's in a hot spot right now. It's getting hot in here, and I feel like this could potentially be, as I'm putting my scores together, I feel like this could be a little closer than the Gamecock fans would like.
What about LSU, Shane? That's the one I'm kind of worried about with
Helton.
Helton coming in. They've announced Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah.
He's officially out. Now, LSU fans may say that's a good thing, but I don't know. If it becomes a high-scoring game, I don't think that suits LSU very well, does it?
No. No. I mean, it hasn't all season, so I can't imagine it would be this weekend. But, yeah, that one's one that – I mean, obviously, that would be my second choice, if I were being honest. It's just the Carolina one. I got a feeling.
All right. So before we make our prediction, Shane, as always, shout out. We've been proud to be partnered up with Prize Picks for five seasons now. Daily fantasy projections. So maybe you don't want to wager on the games. Maybe you're more into selecting more than or less than for player projections. And Shane, last week, I got 4 out of 5. So I'm
nailed it.
It's taken 12 weeks, but I'm on fire here with my prize picks. Are you ready for this week's prize picks?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. You know how I feel about this man. Diego Pavia. He's playing Kentucky, Shane. I think he can light Kentucky up through the air. Diego Pavia, 243.5 passing yards.
Yeah.
Give me the more than. He's number 3 in the conference, and this is coming off a bye week. Number 3 in passing yards. I think he can get to 244 on Kentucky's defense.
Oh, I'm going to go less than.
Oh, you son of a. You hate Vanderbilt. You hate him.
No, it's not that. It's just I feel like this could be a 300-yard game, you know? And it's not that I don't think Pavia can do that. It's just will he have the opportunity to do that? So that's kind of where I'm at in this one. That's a lot of yards for this one.
Yeah. Okay, how about Talen Green? I know you like him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going a little off the wall, though, here. Shane.
Yeah.
Because they're playing Texas. Texas got pretty good defense, right?
Yep.
Longest rush. So 20.5. Longest rush. Give me the more than. So I'm not even saying. Now, this is tricky, right? I'm not even saying Talen Green finishes with 21 rushing yards, even though I think he'll get.
Yeah. You
know, that's not what it is. It's the longest rush. Could he break a 21-yard rush? I think he could be running for his life, but we've seen Talen Green, Shane, at some point he just busts one loose. If he gets 21 or more yards on a single rush, that's a winner over at Prize Picks. What do you think about that?
I'm in on that one. I'm in. Because, like, that's, what, 6 strides and he's hit 20 yards, you know?
All right, then I really love this one, Shane. Shout out your guy, Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
He's only got 186. Now, this is rushing yards. That's what we're looking at here. But he's only got to get to 16. It's 15.5 rushing yards against Arkansas. Give me the more than. I think he can get to 16 rushing yards.
So this is total, right?
Just rushing yards. Yeah, 16. Because, again, Arkansas is not going to sack him a bunch of times, are they?
Well, I mean, they looked pretty good last week, but that was LSU. So, I think that's going to be close. I think they nailed that one, so I feel like you could coin toss that thing.
Okay, well, I know you're going to like this one, Shane. Give me Tennessee receiver Mike Matthews' longest reception, 23.5. So at 24 or more, you it's a winner. Give me the more than 23.5 for Mike Matthews.
Oh, yeah, first drive. That's a good one. That's a great prize pick, Mike.
And then one more for Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
Longest rush, 19.5. Give me the less than. So I don't think he has a 20-yard rush against Kentucky.
What's ballsy right there? Pavia just heard it, too. If he's going to do it just to prove you wrong. Every time I don't place wagers against Pavia, so I'm going to say I'm going to not touch that one. Yeah, okay. More than.
Okay. Well, let's see if you're more than wrong on the picks this week, Shane, like you have been all season long. So let's start with the cupcakes like we always like to do these weekends here. We got Texas A&M, Shane, undefeated, only undefeated team in the SEC. I actually do got a point spread for this one. I found it, Shane. 54.5 point favorite over Samford, and the over-under is 59.5, so not a lot of love for Samford here. Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, SEC Network Plus. How bad's them Aggies winning?
Pretty bad. Pretty bad here, right? And this one here, just this has got to be the game that there's no news. No news is good news. And I feel like you do that, then you had a successful matchup here. Last home game, seniors going to get some love in this one. You know, like to get some of them other players in there as well. Mike, I don't think we learned much from here, but you better damn believe Elko is going to run that damn ball. Give me A&M 52. Samford, 9.
Ooh, close one.
Three field goals. Samford starts out 3-0, and we get all rattled there for a minute.
Then Elko's got to give another speech or whatever.
Exactly.
Hey, shout out this. Whoa, he just gifted a bunch of memberships we'll get to as well. But shout out Mizzou fan number 7, Shane.
Yeah.
Here's his prize pick
Thank
of the
you,
week.
Cuz.
I'm taking the over. Cousin Shane eating 5 pizzas this weekend. Also, we'll take the over on Mike having an emergency podcast. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were just discussing that. I think we're going to – I don't know. I'm debating on watching the 12 o'clock game, Mizzou and Oklahoma there. I'm thinking about doing a little watch-along there. Ooh. So, yeah, Mizzou, we'll hang out and drink some cold beers, eat some of them pizzas with you.
all right, yeah. So, again, the biggest question for me, Shane –
yeah.
How long are we going to leave the starters out here for A&M? Yeah. I mean, we got Texas coming up, road game. We know that's going to be a hostile environment. That's going to be Texas Super Bowl. You know, we've had some key players get banged up for A&M. Mario Craven, even Marcel Reed at a point in time, Le'Veon Moss. So I think, you know, if we got the majority of the starters in by the second quarter, we've done something wrong. So that's kind of the biggest reason that I think A&M may not cover.
Yeah.
But I think they cover. Come on, Shane. Give me Texas A&M 63. Give me Samford 3. A 60-point win. Man, they're a red fire. They're so hot right now. They're like Zoolander. You ever seen that movie? He's so hot right now. That's A&M. You know what?
It's so hot. I love it, man.
All right. How about this one, Shane?
Yeah. And
I got a point spread for all these, so it's pretty cool. Alabama versus Eastern Illinois. Crimson Tide favored by 50.5 points.
Woo.
Over-under is 57.5. 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 Central, SEC Network Plus. Who do you like here? And I mean, I know who you like, but how bad's Bama going to whip that ass?
Poor Eastern Illinois coming into a buzzsaw, ain't they? The pissed off Tide fans. It's going to be this one here, Mike, kind of the same. You're going to hear that kind of theme going along. There shouldn't be starters in the second half, but I do think Alabama jumps on them quick, and I'm not expecting many points in the second half. So that spread is a little rich for my blood, brother. I like Alabama 49. I think Eastern Illinois gets lucky and gets a score too. So give me Eastern Illinois 10. So 49 to 10 here.
Ooh, 49 to 10.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Are you? And honestly, the only thing I'm really looking forward to here is getting the run. Like, there's no reason you can't run against Eastern Illinois, right? And I feel like
I would hope.
I would almost hope that I wouldn't see any passing. You know, we got to get that right before the Iron Bowl. We got to get that right before the college football playoffs. So this is a glorified scrimmage, in my opinion. And I want to see there may be some new faces back there in that running back room. I want to see it. If we got to jumble the offensive line around, let's freaking do it. Let's get this thing right.
Over under, how many times does the kicker yell at the snapper?
Yeah, I bet it's under. I bet they make a joke about it, you know. Like hold hands or something, you know?
Does Kalen DeBoer break out his stupid hoodie? You know what I mean? Like that's going to be the biggest talking points of this one, Shade. So I wonder. Now, again, I don't get too hyped up over this playoff stuff.
Yeah.
It was funny. I don't know if you saw it, Shane. I did one little innocent tweet, I thought, about Alabama and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Notre Dame guy wrote an article about how Notre Dame's better than Alabama and you're a hick if you think different. And I was like, well, I don't know. And then he got all Notre Dame on my ass. But point being, Shane, Alabama, I know that this is like not a game that's going to, they're going to be measured by.
Right.
But considering they fell in the rankings, I wonder if you go out here and you'd be like, let's beat this team by 60, 70 points. It's almost like, it's like they'll honor that because this committee's so stupid that, you know, if you win it by 40, if you win by 70, there actually might be a difference. Is there any motivation there, you think?
Let's do 100. I mean, I've not seen 100 before. You know what I'm saying? And Alabama could do it. And you bring up a good point. I feel like if legitimately the score was 82-0, I think there would be like at least Hunter would have to give it a second thought, right?
That's what I'm saying. So, again, I think Alabama's going to come out here like some gangbusters, Shane. I think it's going to be a shutout.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, they need to impose their will on this team. They should try to get the heck out of here. But I don't think that's in Kalen DeBoer's DNA. I think they're going to air it out. That's what they love to do down there.
Yeah.
I think all their receivers of the start, well, probably let's go four deep, Shane. I got four deep receivers getting at least one touchdown, probably two apiece. Give me Alabama, 55. Give me Eastern Illinois, 0.
Hey, cuz, I want to give a big shout-out. Cameron Williams here in the hospital right now, introduced a baby girl to the family and a new fan of the show, Hail State. Ring the bell, Mike. Baby. Congratulations, cuz.
You had me scared there at first. I didn't read the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, I probably should have read a little quicker. This is good news.
Hey, it's Serial Killer. Figured I'd join you sickos in this madhouse. So appreciate you, man. Man, the family's growing, you know what?
It is. Absolutely. She don't know what she's about to get into. Mississippi State and a fan of that SEC. Boy, she is gonna be ready for this world.
How about Auburn, Shane, hosted old Mercer, over under 51.5 total points. The Tigers favored. Now this is stunning, Shane.
Yeah.
We've done 50 point spreads. 27.5 point favorite over Mercer.
Jeez.
So not a lot of respect for Auburn here. Mm. 2:00 Eastern, 1 Central, SEC Network Plus. And if anybody missed it, Auburn has officially announced Deuce Knight, the true freshman quarterback. He's going to be our starter. So, Shane, how bad does Auburn beat old Ron Mercer?
I think playing Deuce is the ultimate X factor here. Fans get behind that, right? They've been calling for that all year long. This is their future. This is a kid they don't want to leave at the end of the season. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like we get a little extra something. Now, I get Mercer. Aren't they like 10-0, something like that? They're good in whatever division they're in. But at the end of the day, this is apples and oranges, and there is a lot of talent in that Auburn locker room, Mike. And I can't wait to see some of that young talent come out here and whoop up on these Mercer whatevers. Give me Auburn. I don't think it's like a crazy blowout, but I do think they own the game completely. Give me Auburn 38, Mercer 3. They crossed the 50 once to get a field goal.
Did you have any reservations, though, when I just told you that spread? Because that kind of blew my mind.
No. In fact, I didn't know there was a spread in this one, and the fact that I had it kind of low anyway, I was expecting more of a, like I said, not a blowout, but a controlled game, and that's exactly what we have here. So, no reservation there.
Okay.
I'm excited about Deuce, though.
What if he's not good? Against Mercer.
You stop that. You stop that negativity. He's going to be good. What if he's great? How about that? What if he's phenomenal and we're like, we've been waiting till now to throw Deuce out there?
Well, I mean, hell, he should. This is freaking Mercer, and he's a five-star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's got all these weapons. Do you think Jackson Arnold plays? Now, they say both quarterbacks are going to play. Jackson Arnold, how much do you think we see of him?
None. I think this is full Deuce.
A full Deuce.
The big full Deuce right here.
That's how Shane gets ready for every show. Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. But, yeah, I mean, remember, this is the guy, Shane, that came and he's like, can I get Cam Newton's number? You know, and they're like, how about you go earn something, go make your own number? That I believe that was Cam's response, basically. So, hey, if he's Cam Newton, yeah, you're right. He should come out here and whoop ass, because again, you got all the talent in the world, and we make so much of these quarterbacks, and they are oftentimes, Shane, just as only as good as the talent around them.
Yeah.
And I know the offensive line has been very disappointing, but aside from that, he's got a world of talent around him. He should make for a historic debut as a true freshman for an Auburn freshman quarterback. So, yeah, that's what I'd like to see, Shane. And I'm going to give Mercer a little bit more credit than you, a little bit. Give me Auburn 30. Mm-hmm. Give me Mercer 10. So I think they actually cover this spread. But I don't know. With a true freshman, I just don't see him throwing it all over the yard. I think this is kind of like a establish a ground game. We'll get some big throws to Cam Coleman, but I don't think it's going to be like 50 or 60 points. I'd be stunned by that. Mm.
What if Lane Kiffin said, hey, I want to see what I'm working with before I come down there?
All right. Well, I know what they're working with here, Shane. Mm-hmm. Down in Athens, we got the Georgia Bulldogs hosting Charlotte, Shane. Them dogs favored by 43.5 total points. Over-under is 53.5. 12:45 Eastern, 11:45 Central on the SEC Network. How bad them dogs gonna beat Charlotte's ass?
Bad. Bad, Mike. And this defense right now, they're getting right at the right time. And I would love, again, this should be one of those games, second half. We don't have the stars out there, and I don't think we will. And a lot of that will have to be because they jumped on them early. And that's what Kirby wants to do. That's what I'm expecting. So don't be blown away if there's 21 points in the first quarter. This thing ends up being 42 Charlotte 0. This is a defensive football game. You're going to love it. You like defense? You're going to love this one.
Hey, shout out Jeez Louise, Shane. He says, I think I'm going to get a hotel in Morristown, close to Morristown, huh?
That place is jumping these days. Every time I look up, they got a new restaurant. And they're packed. I'm like, why are they always packed? Nobody cooks anymore, I guess.
Hey, how about that? I don't know if you've considered this at all, Shane.
Yeah.
We got a war upcoming next week with Georgia Tech. Remember what happened last year?
Yeah.
What was it, 8 overtimes, 7 overtimes, whatever it was? And I think Georgia Tech's better this year than they were last year.
Yeah.
And we know, because we're only one loss in the Southeastern Conference, and Bama's kind of fading, there's a real possibility that Georgia is in the SEC championship game. Now, they haven't locked it up.
Yeah.
But they may. You know, so I wonder, Kirby thinking, all right, we got this physical game. We got a possible SEC championship. We know we got a playoff run upcoming.
Yeah.
We may have to, again, are they thinking about, you know, taking it easy on some of their starters? I think they will, Shane. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, they'll absolutely destroy Charlotte, but I think we're going to see a lot of the young talent on the field there in mm-hmm. Athens this week.
Yep.
So I don't think, like Gunner, I'd be surprised if he even suits up in the second half. I said all that, Shane, because that's the only thing I could talk about this game. Give me Georgia 48. Give me Charlotte. Goose egg. They ain't scoring on Kirby and the boys. Come on. It don't matter if it's third string, fourth string. They ain't scoring.
So, again, just to clarify, Alabama wins out, Texas A&M wins out, Georgia gets two bye weeks, basically, right?
Well, no.
No, okay. What because needs to happen again?
They could.
Yeah.
Based on the current... Let's see if I still have it up here. Yeah. Based on the current playoff rankings, that is correct.
Yeah.
But, again, I know this is confusing,
mm-hmm.
and this is why this is so stupid anyway. But these rankings mean literally nothing.
Right.
If Bama beats Auburn and Bama wins the SEC championship over A&M,
right,
they'll probably be right higher than Georgia.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. And then are we gonna? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. Possibly.
Do you drop A&M?
Right. Are they really gonna drop an undefeated A&M who lost one time? Now that's just one hypothetical.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If Georgia comes out here and beats Georgia Tech by 30, maybe they do remain up there. You know, I mean, there's so many moving pieces. How does the Big Ten championship look?
Yeah.
So yes, if they did it today, Georgia would have multiple byes. But we can't write that in stone, if that makes sense.
Yeah. As of now, that's right. What we're dealing with. I got you.
Right. All right. But you know where they don't have a bye, Shane?
Where's that?
Columbia. But they will next year, according to Baber. Shout out the Gamecock, Shane, hosting Coastal Carolina. South Carolina favored by 23 points. The over, under. Oh, no, I forgot to write it down. Do you have?
I think it's 24 and a half.
Right, that's the spread. Over-under is 50 and a half.
Yeah.
Total points. And this is at 4:15 Eastern, 3:15 Central on the SEC Network. Shane, are the Cox on upset alert?
One of these teams is going bowling. And it ain't them Gamecocks, Mike. And I worry about this one. I do. To sit here and act like... I mean, South Carolina should come out here and beat them by 40 points, right? We all know that. They got the talent to do it. They got the defense to do it. They got the coaches to do it. But will they do it? And I'm not completely sold on that. Now, I'm not sitting here and I'm not going to praise Coastal like Beamer did all week. But I do think that this is a game that is sloppy. I have not seen anything up to this point to think that they've turned over a new leaf that they've created. You know what I'm saying? There was that moment. There was a little bit of swing in that A&M, right? That first half. But what's the odds of getting two halves in this game? Slim to none. And I feel like there's a big letdown. You talk about a hangover. Golly, a rival on the road. That was it. You talk about a letdown. There's not a bigger letdown than what happened last Saturday in College Station. So I feel like that kind of leaks on over to this week, and that's why I've got a close game, Mike. I still have South Carolina winning, but only by 7. So give me Carolina 28, Coastal 21.
Beamer's writing that on his wall right now, Shane.
He's ran out of space, Mike. He's on another wall. He needs a new wall in that office.
David. Well, you know the best way to get over a horrible defeat that will haunt you for the rest of your life?
How's that?
By going out whipping ass the next week. You know what I mean? So if the Gamecocks come in here, take care of business like they should, this should be an easy win. I know it, you know, the story of the game is just losing in the epic fashion we did. But what should not be lost in all that, Shane, was just the improvements on offense in the first game without Mike Shula. So I think Mike Furry, the interim OC, I think he did a solid job. I think that carries over for another week. Lenore Sellers, oof. I mean, I like the first half. Sellers looks pretty good. Second half, again, if we could carry that over, if we could do that twice, two halves of the first half against A&M, I guess a much, much, much inferior opponent compared to A&M. I think South Carolina could have a lot of success here, and their defense, I think, will truly outclass Coastal Carolina, at least fingers crossed. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for some momentum because we got to go into the Clemson game not with our tail between our legs.
Yeah.
So give me South Carolina 30. Give me Coastal Carolina 14. I'm still a fan, Beamer. I'm still on your side. We'll win them back next year. This is the start, Shane, of an epic run, a two-game run, that is going to carry over to next season and get us to the college football playoff. How about it?
You may be right. That's what Shane was worried about, Beamer getting caught looking ahead to playoffs next season.
All right, shout out, Shane, them LSU Tigers. I don't even think they know there's a game this week among the fans. They're all on Lane Kiffin watch. But the team, Shane, they're hosting Western Kentucky. And the Tigers favored by 21.5 total points. Yep. Over-under, 50.5 total points. 7:45 Eastern, 6:45 Central on the SEC Network. They got themselves another night game. I don't know if they deserve it, but they got it, Shane. Did they get the win on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm glad they moved it tonight. You know, again, another senior night. There's some seniors on here, right? I feel like they can get enough energy in that locker room. Will they get it in the stands? No. They may change the name to Dead Valley after this one as the place looks empty at halftime. And, Mike, I feel like this, not a sluggish game, but we're going to get the same thing. It's definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That is LSU 101 right there. Doesn't matter who's coaching. Doesn't matter who's quarterbacking. It ain't going to be fun to watch. But I got LSU winning 31, Western Kentucky 13. Still got a good defense, Mike.
How many times do the fans chant for Kiffin?
All night long.
All night. Every first down.
Yeah. Kiffin. Oh, they better. Yeah, show up for Kiffin.
Thoughts on shout out Matt Zinich. He is a legitimate reporter. He's very good at his job. I believe he's with CBS now.
Yeah.
He has reported, Shane, and it's so funny. It's like I guess Kiffin's already lined up his staff or starting to at LSU. He's not even taking the job, and I don't think it's a given he leaves.
Yeah.
I do not believe it's a given. But Matt Zinich reported right before we hopped on that if/when, that's exactly what he said, if/when LSU hires Lane Kiffin, they are open to Ed Orgeron being on the coaching staff, I presume as a defensive line coach. But I don't know. He didn't get into any, you know, could be recruiting coordinator. I don't know. But thoughts on Coach O making a return to LSU as an assistant coach.
Go Tigers. Yeah, I think it'd be great. I feel like he's an ambassador to the football team, right? Yeah, I always love some of these coaches that come back to their alma mater. You know, it's like it means a little something. And he absolutely – well, now, he didn't play there, but you know what I mean. He lives. Well,
I think he did for like a semester.
Oh, yeah. Did he?
And then he quit is what he did.
Well, no doubt, Mike, this is a guy that bleeds – purple and gold, you know, so I would absolutely love him on the staff in some fashion. It doesn't have to be defensive line. It can be a GA. I don't care. Just in that locker room because he provides the energy. If you could get him on the recruiting trail, I think that would be as well. Just lock up your moms. You know?
Shout out Ole Miss. Hey, there's a world where Coach O becomes the interim head coach again.
Hey, that's probably in the fine print. You want to coach here again? Things don't work out with Lane.
You don't think that could get awkward, though, at all? I mean, the guy's been the head coach, won a national championship. Now he's back as defensive line. I mean, this is bizarro world, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, Lane would be whoever. Again, it doesn't have to be Lane, but the head coach has got to make that decision, right? And I would imagine the relationship that they have would be, you know, if it can happen or not. But I don't think it would get weird. I really don't. I mean, Coach O's got plenty of money. He just wants to get back in the mix. He's been at the beach too long.
Boy, last week he was Arkansas head coach. Now he's LSU D-line coach. You know? But all right, hey, back to the game. But man, I just feel so bad. Again, I know it's not the he's not the fan favorite right now, and I think it's, you know, some of that I get, but I think it's unfair. No Garrett Nussmeier is officially out. Final home game of his career. Would have loved to see him come out here and whoop Western Kentucky's ass. We'll see. I don't know if his season's done or what, but we know for a fact it's official. He's not playing. So that's unfortunate, I really do feel. But I am a little concerned, Shane, if we get into a high-scoring game, that LSU could really struggle. And this is the one. Again, all this Lane Kiffin drama. You know, there's people on social media, Kiffin's daughter's down here already. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't even know if that's true. You know what I mean? So all that's out there. Now we got Coach O stuff out there. We got an interim coach who I think he's doing a decent job given the situation. But I don't know. I think you could even say there's a coaching advantage perhaps on Western Kentucky's side here. So, yes, I got to go LSU, of course, to win the football game. But I think it's going to be a nail biter. I really, really do. Give me LSU 28. Give me Western Kentucky 20. I credit LSU last week getting in a 2-touchdown hole to Arkansas and clawing their way back in. But that was an ugly game. You know, if Arkansas didn't get – now, LSU stopped them. We got to give them credit. But if not for a terrible interception in the end zone, a fourth and literally inches that they couldn't get – I mean, there was an opportunity. Arkansas ran them out of their damn building.
Yeah.
And I know we speak highly of Arkansas at times here, but – they might legitimately be the worst team in the conference. They damn near whooped you last week. You know what?
Yeah, they damn near whip everybody. That's the problem.
Well, speaking of them Razorbacks, are they going to whoop Texas? Shane, mighty Texas. Steve Sarkisian's letting everybody and his mother know, I ain't leaving. I'll be here. NFL be damned. And the Longhorns, Shane, they better win this one. Otherwise, they might run his ass off. Texas favored by 8.5 points over the Razorbacks. Over-unders, 58.5 total points. This is a 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central, nationally televised on ABC. Who do you got in this SEC showdown?
You know, it's a real shame that this was not the first game Bobby P. had. Right. I feel like if that would have happened, they would have beat Texas. This Arkansas team, yes, they have played a lot of really close football. They have played really good at times, but here lately, not so well. Right. And mainly Taylor Green, some know him as Talon. You know, I feel like this is a guy that when he is on it to the tens, he is unstoppable. But here lately, he's just made mistake after mistake, kind of fallen apart a little bit. So this is one I'd love to see Arkansas get, but I just don't think they're going to, because Texas, even though they're coming off the loss, probably going to be a little butthurt, a little upset. You know, there's going to be a little hangover. It's primed for an upset. I just don't see it happening, because one thing that I have seen is this defense makes quarterbacks make mistakes, and then they capitalize from it, right? And running, Texas, you can't run. By God, you're going to be able to run this week, Mike. You know, that's the one nice thing about playing Arkansas, is that your offensive woes kind of go away for a weekend. So, Mike, I feel like this is a close game for a little while, but I feel like there will be some mistakes made on that offense mainly. And it's almost like if Arkansas, or if they can't score on every drive, they will lose, and that's just not going to happen. So give me Texas. This is a rivalry. Give me Texas 35, Arkansas 24.
Am I crazy for thinking Arkansas could win this game?
No, no.
I've been thinking it all week.
I'm right there with you, man. Texas fans are like, well, I mean, if you've watched any Arkansas games, they give you a heart attack, man.
But having said that, I mean, it has to have made it back right to that locker room in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
That the team that just whooped your ass came out here and said, hey, you know, we don't just we ain't just handing out checks out here, you know.
Right.
We're checking manhoods. And he said that right after he whooped your ass. I think that was a clear sign that Kirby Smart, at least, views Steve Sarkisian's program as soft.
Yeah.
So, again, if you can't respond to that, you know, I am worried Texas looking ahead, A&M, all that big game. But, again, when the opposing coach had just whooped you, kind of calls you out, that was kind of a tipping point for me. I mean, Texas has got to respond here. And you're right. I mean, Arkansas, they put up so many good fights.
Mm-hmm.
How much more fight do they got left in them? And last week, we both put all our chips on the table. 2 weeks to prepare. Battle for another rivalry, the Golden Boot. Getting them early. It was perfectly set up. You jumped on LSU, 14 mm-hmm. to nothing. You still lost. I know it was only by one. But again, it was just backbreaker, another backbreaker in a season of backbreakers, Shade. So can Arkansas really get up off the mat? I don't, you know, here's the crazy part, Shane. I don't think Arkansas's even got to play that well, and they could still win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a massive divide when it comes to overall talent, but Arkansas has kind of been playing over their weight, so to speak, and Texas has been playing under their weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I give me Texas. I think they're going to get it done because this would be humiliating. You can't be out here in Sarkisian. Hey, I'm going to be here. I love it here. You know, blah, 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 and then come out here and lay a damn egg. You just can't do it. And when your entire organization gets called out, I think they respond in a big, mm-hmm. big way. So give me Texas, 30. Arkansas, 27. A three-point win. That's a response from Texas right there. You know what?
Mike, seriously, name a better 2-8 team out there. I can't name one. It's them Arkansas Razorbacks. And one thing that I will point out about this game, you mentioned A&M. I feel like there's got to be a little bit of that in the locker room, right? We're out. We're on the outside looking in right now. But if we destroy Arkansas, if we destroy A&M, now A&M confident, I'm just saying in the locker room here, if they have that mentality, they feel like they still may have a shot to sneak in the playoffs, obviously, if there's a little chaos in front of them. So I still feel like Texas has something to play for. They're not quite completely out, but
right.
I do worry a little bit, you know, if they, you know, we're at that point. And if they get down two scores like they did with LSU, I don't think Arkansas loses that game.
And I saw, I think it was Texas Boy in the comments, Shane, he says, come mm-hmm. on, Arkansas's trash, move on.
Mm-mm.
Dude, A&M is maybe the best team in the country.
Yeah.
Three-point game. Tennessee, again, are they the best team in the country? No, but they could go 9-3. Three-point game.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, they're going to the playoff. You know, that was a six-point game that you fumbled right there at the end. Memphis, I think their playoff hopes are still alive. You had that one. You drop a damn ball at the five.
Right.
Mississippi State, three-point game last week, one-point game. I mean, they this is not a garbage team. I'm not saying they're a good team, but
yeah,
they're not that far off. You know what?
No. And they can score. That's the only thing that I – you know, a lot of these teams that have got there because of their defense, that's – all good and well, but you play a team that can actually put points on you, then all of a sudden your offense is asked to do something. So Arch is going to have to do something this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of do something, Shane, both these teams, Kentucky at Vanderbilt. Kentucky's got to win. They got to do something to make a bowl game. Vanderbilt's got to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. The Commodores favored by 8.5 points at home, over-under is 53.5 total points, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central on ESPN. How about this, Shane? Vanderbilt's not beating Kentucky at home since 2015. What? Can they snap that streak this week in Nashville?
You know, it's funny, Mike. You know me. I'm the biggest non-Vanderbilt believer that's out there, right? And I've continued this for weeks now, and I am losing. Part of the reason why I'm getting my ass kicked in the rankings is mainly because I'm throwing away a win-loss every single Saturday with these guys. So not anymore, man. This is a team, yes, we're not talking playoffs, but we should be. I hate it for them. You know, they're sitting there potentially 10-2 at the end of the season, and they'll be the SEC team that won't make it. I do think Coach Lee is in the running for the best coach of the year. I feel like Diego Pavia is in running for the best, I won't say quarterback, just player. Just what he does, leader of
he's
that
like a,
program.
Just a pure football player.
Just a freaking lightning rod in college football. And it's a shame that we kind of haven't got to talk to him here in a couple of weeks because he's been out partying with Theo and all those fun folks. But at the end of the day, man, there's no doubt in my mind Vanderbilt can win this game. And I like Kentucky. Don't get me wrong, Mike. I like Cutter. I like McGowan. I love this defense is what they've been able to do here the last couple of weeks. They've been fun, and I feel like it's a fun story, and it's a great story, and the momentum should continue to roll. But at the end of the day, and I hate to do it, I've got to pick Vanderbilt. I don't think I've ever picked Vanderbilt. And that's why I'm not picking them this week. Give me Kentucky, Morristown Honda, 24, Vanderbilt, 23. Hopefully I don't have to do two more miles for this freaking game. Momentum, baby. Coach Stoops and momentum. I feel like it's right back. I mean, they got it. Vanderbilt's not looking at this game. They're looking straight at the Tennessee Vols, and I feel like that catches them this weekend.
Yeah. Well, they were saying in the comments, Shane, and it's accurate, every time you pick Vanderbilt, they lose. When you pick against them, they win. So they thought you were going to curse Vanderbilt's ass.
Just so I wouldn't walk.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it, Shane? Old Cutter Bowley, he's heating up here.
Yeah.
Now, the only problem, of course, he's not had a ton of opportunities. But when he's on the road, he's a different player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's obviously on the road this week. And they just announced it's a sellout. So it should be a pretty good crowd here in Nashville for this one. I'm a little concerned, Shane, if it's a high-scoring game, if Kentucky can keep up. I love their running game. It's really has helped old Cutter Bowley. This, I truly believe, could be a high-scoring game. I think that the offenses are much better than the defenses here. I think of all the Diego, he deserves all the attention he's getting, but it's the overall offense that is just been playing so well, so efficient this year. They're top 10 in many efficiency statistics this year on the offensive side of the football. Eli Stowers, he may be the best tight end in the country. They've added weapons at receiver. They got a lot of good running backs. So it's a complete offense. It's not just the Diego Pavia show. He's just engineering the thing.
Yeah.
But you're making some good points, Shane. Kentucky, particularly on defense, they are getting better and better week in, week out. This is the Brad White, Mark Stoops defense we thought we were getting.
Yeah.
The one we had for years and years. It took a season off. Well, I think they're back now, Shane. So that could be the difference. I think probably everybody's overlooking the strides Kentucky has made on the defensive side of the football. Meanwhile, on the other side, Shane, Vanderbilt's defense, whew. Buddy, remember old Auburn, all the jokes we've been making all offseason?
Yeah.
You made them look like $1 million in your last game. It wasn't last week. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. But in your last game, defense got shredded. Defense been getting – hell, even LSU kind of had some success against you. That was about the best game they played all year on offense. So I'm very concerned that Cutter Bowley and them big blue boys have some – success against Vanderbilt, and they will, Shane. You're 100% right. Kentucky, big performance here. Give me Kentucky, 20. Get the hell out of here, Shane. Vanderbilt, 35. Come on, the march to the playoff continues. We're getting a 15-point win at home. Get the hell out of here.
I'm going to have to at some point, man. The miles are adding up, Mike.
Well, let's see. The game that gave you the most miles of your life, Shane, was this one. Tennessee at Florida. Last time Tennessee went to Gainesville, that man guaranteed he'd walk for every point. Florida beat him. He ended up doing, 17 miles, something crazy like that. So will it be a different story this time? We'll see. Tennessee favored. Oh, buddy, it's always dangerous when I say this sentence, Shane. Tennessee favored to beat Florida. in the swamp. Good night. Haven't won here since 2003. Vols favored by 3.5. Over under 57.5 total points. 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. Nationally televised on ABC. And be 100% honest with us, Shane. 100% honest. I mean, this has got noon game written all over it.
Yeah.
When the SEC came out and said, guess what? We're putting it in the swamp at night, nationally televised. We're going to honor Urban Meyer. I mean, how more nervous did you get for this one?
Very. I'm always nervous. I'm always nervous in this game, Mike, because when was the last time? I think I was 20-something years old.
2003.
Yeah. I mean, it's been... Golly, man, it's been a long time. You know what I'm saying? I was getting carded back in the day. So last time this one happened. There's been a lot of really good Tennessee teams that's gone to the swamp. There's been some really bad teams that have been sitting at the swamp. Yet we keep getting the same stupid results. And, Mike, I tell you, there's something about this game, right? I'm an old man, right? And I feel like... This is where battered ball syndrome originated, was playing the Florida Gators. There were many years we were supposed to win, but something happens, right? A backup quarterback, a new interim coach. You know, I mean, this is just classic Tennessee losing to this shit team, I'm telling you. And I'm looking at this injury report, man. They got Trey Wilson's out, gone. Dallas, gone. I don't know if what's the other guy, PB3 or whatever they call him, you know. I feel like he's probably out. They ain't got nobody to throw it to. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason the Tennessee Vols should lose to the Florida Gators. I think this game comes down to one thing, turnovers. And I worry because Aguilar hasn't been playing – like Aguilar weeks 1-4, right? And I worry a little bit because when you're in the swamp, it's very unforgiving when you have those turnovers. But it helps. Oh, Mike, it helps. When Florida has a shitty offense, though, doesn't it? Give me an upset, Mike. I'm not saying that. I'm saying upset. Even though we're favored, we're not supposed to win this game. Lock of the week, Tennessee Vols 35, Florida Gators 20. Y'all getting your ass whooped. What's it for all?
Damn, lock of the week.
Lock it down, baby. You got to be confident, right? You just got to go.
No, you don't.
Yeah. It's like when I tee up a golf ball and there's a body of water in front of me, I was like, I could go get a swamp ball or I can hit this nice Callaway I found 3 days ago. I hit it because I know I'm going to get over that water. That's exactly what we're doing today, Mike.
Hey, you know what else we're doing, Shane?
What's that?
We're shouting out Cousin Rick.
Big Cousin Rick.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan. Cousin Rick, Gig'em Aggies.
Thank you, Rick. Thanksgiving is the time to be thankful for your blessings. I am thankful for Mike, Shane, and all the cousins, even the Longhorns. I hope each of the cousins have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Same to you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you so much.
You too, cuz. Heck yeah. I've been thinking about it. You know, I saw somebody comment, said, don't forget, frozen turkey needs to come out of the freezer Saturday. For those that cook at home, Mike.
What's that? But will it be a good Thanksgiving for Cousin Shane?
Please.
Tennessee please. Loses to Florida. Man, and they could double it up by losing a favorite.
I just, damn it.
That's funny to think about. But, all right, so, I mean, you're right, Aguilar, 4 interceptions the last 2 games.
Yeah.
DJ Lagway, seemingly 4 interceptions every other game. So you really think Aguilar on the road, you're more confident he doesn't throw interceptions as opposed to Lagway at home?
Well, I don't say that. I just feel like Florida's not a team that can capitalize on turnovers like maybe some of these other ones Tennessee's faced.
I got you. And now we got Florida defensive lineman Caleb Banks, our best defensive lineman, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the lineup. He's been gone since, I think, like week 2. They saved him up for this game, Shane. And if Tennessee can't run the football, I think it's going to be a long night for them Vols in the swamp, Shane. I think Jaden Ball, I think because Florida's so disappointing, hardly anybody pays attention to him.
Yeah.
Outside of Gainesville. And, man, I think he's one of the best running backs in the conference. I think he's going to have himself a day against old Tennessee. And I would be more confident in Florida if they actually, like you said, PB3. It's VB3, but PB3 sounds like a peanut butter, protein, so I just let that slide. But, you know, if he was in there, Trey Wilson, Dallas Wilson, if they had all these guys, I think this would be a long, long night for Tennessee because they can't cover anybody. But the Gators are so banged up, you got to wonder if they can even take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Tennessee playing a man, their defense. But one guy you didn't mention, and we don't have to go down a deep rabbit hole here on old Boo Carter, but is there a chance, Shane, with him gone, maybe the defense plays a lot better? Or maybe the whole team plays better because it's almost like you remove someone that probably shouldn't have been there the whole time.
Yeah, I think it will help. I mean, obviously, sounds like he was a little bit of cancer in the locker room anyway.
Right.
But again, he didn't play any, I don't think, since Oklahoma. I mean, he was kick, punt return and stuff. So should be a huge deal. But I did see some of these young kids starting to play a little bit better. So, yeah, absolutely. I think it could help.
Okay. Because that's another thing that kind of went into my prediction.
Yeah.
I think they could be better, Shane.
I think the tight end being out kind of sucks, though.
Yeah. No, that's huge. But Shane, you got a really bad read on Florida too. It seems like one week the weeks you count against them, they win. Seems like the weeks you say they're going to pull off an impossible upset, they get embarrassed mightily.
Well,
you just locked them up, didn't you, Shane?
Yeah, lock it.
I think you may have locked up the wrong team. Given the history of this matchup, Shane, Florida at home, swamp. At night, Tennessee, House of Horrors. Give me Florida. 28, Tennessee. 27, Honda Morristown. Honda, they screwed it up. They put the wrong team on the bottom. Florida by one.
Remember, we're brought to you by Tennessee Legend. May need some of that Saturday night, Mike. And I probably will, right? There's been a lot of heartbreak, a lot of upset. There's nothing like losing to a team that you should win, right? And we've been saying that for 20 years, and you're probably right. Odds are you're right, but you're probably wrong this year.
I'm just a little concerned Tennessee is massively overrated. Is that possible?
Not massively, but potentially barely overrated.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. You got Tennessee losing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, losing outright.
I saw Emily said double cousin curse there. No. Mike does not. He took the odds favorite there. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, speaking of the favorite. Favorite game of the week, in my opinion. We got Missouri on the road in Norman, Shane, as Oklahoma Sooners favored by 7.5 points at home. The over-under's 41.5, very low. Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, nationally televised on ABC. As old Drake pointed out this week, Shane, Mizzou hasn't won in Norman in 59 years. Does that change come Saturday?
Boy, this is going to be a good game. I wish this was a night game. I'm kind of surprised it's so early. Yeah. I think that's a huge favorite for Mizzou there. But Mike, this is one I went back and forth on because, you know, I really love the running game that Mizzou has. I mean, hell, 300 yards last week by Hardy. I mean, the kid's unfreaking believable. But then I like Oklahoma defense, mainly up front, right? And they're good at stopping people from running the football. So it is I mean, that is the game right there. It's like something has to give. Is it going to be the rushing attack from Mizzou, or is it going to be the defensive front of Oklahoma? And let's just say, this is how my brain works, Mike. I say, okay, let's just take them both out. Let's just say it's an even wash there, right?
Yeah.
Now I got to put my faith in one of the two quarterbacks. Do I want to put it in Matt Zollers? Or do I want to put it in John Money Mateer? I'm barely putting it on Mateer. Barely, barely. Because it's at home, Oklahoma is on a – they're on a track to do something that I still – it still blows my mind that we're here late November talking about a playoff opportunity. And I'm rooting for him now. I'm just freaking rooting for him. I'm on the Sooner bus here. So give me Oklahoma 24 – MIZ 20. I think it's a close game, but I feel like that home field advantage is going to be an advantage.
Well said.
Yes. No. Put it on your Christmas card.
Will there be any Sooner magic required for Oklahoma to get this one?
You're damn right. You are damn right.
Yeah. Mm. What would be the path, though, for the Missouri pulling off? I mean, do they got to jump out to a lead? Do they got to force some material mistakes? I mean, what do you think? They're obviously got to run the football.
Yeah, Zollers, they have to be two-dimensional, right? This isn't a team that you can just force, you know, I mean, they know. They know you want to run the football, and if they eliminate that, and Oklahoma can do that, then do they have enough star power around him? And I do like this, you know, I'm terrible at saying his name, but that freshman wide receiver, let's call
Donovan.
Him O. Yeah. I feel like Big O, he's one of those guys that's kind of taking it to the next. I'm a little disappointed with Coleman's production. I'd like to see him, you know, kind of take that step. This is why we paid him all this money is to win big games like this. So I feel like you're going to need some help there. And if that happens, then that will open up the running game and become a balance. That's how you beat Oklahoma, is being balanced. And I'm afraid Mizzou won't be able to do that.
Hey, shout out Mizzou fan Shane. He gave us $20. Tigers are out to ruin Oklahoma's playoff aspirations. This will be Drink's marquee win that uses to get hired at Florida or Penn State in a week. And Mizzou ends 8-4 with a loss to Arkansas in the interim coach showdown. Man, wild. Imagine picking your team to win this one but lose the next one. I can't. That'd be wild, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be a wild one.
And Carl, appreciate you. He said he gave us $10. Feels like 2003. Balls getting in bed. And then Bala Nahada drove 10.5 hours from Norman to Tuscaloosa to watch Oklahoma whoop some ass. The only mistake, stopping in Memphis to take a shit. Came out with the paint stolen off my truck. I like Memphis. Chase Moore, appreciate you, buddy. $10. Somebody rub Shane's bald head for some luck. MIZ, bitch, nothing to lose. Well, that's true.
That may be it. Now the pressure's off. You know what I'm saying? The pressure's on Oklahoma. And, you know, there's a chance that they've already – that we told you this. I coming into this weekend, I was like, hey, they got two home games to finish out the season. It almost feels like you can take take a break. And it just – you can't because Mizzou will come in here and run all over you.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big-time trap game.
Yeah.
Big time. I think, Shane, for old Oklahoma, coming off two emotional road wins, you're firmly in the playoff, win and you're in. The only thing sweeter than making the playoff, Shane, eliminating our rival from the playoff. You know it? So, You know, as we get closer to kickoff, it sounds not official yet, Shane. Just double check. Bo Prabula, doubtful, just like he was last week, and he didn't suit up. So I think that could have been massive for Missouri. I think that could have been a difference. Like you said, Money Mateer at home, true freshman on the road. Even last week, Shane, I think I heard the game plan. They were trying to get Zoller's more experience.
Yeah.
Obviously, last home game, you know, trying to get him some confidence. But you can't take the ball out of Hardy's hands, you know, when he's rushed for 300 yards. So
yeah.
They weren't even able to accomplish, you know, getting Zoller's more looks last week. So I don't know, man. I think Missouri is criminally underrated, particularly on the defense. I think their defense matches up very, very well with Oklahoma's offense. And I think this is going to be a low-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't take the true freshman to go on the road and win a game of this magnitude, not until we actually see him do it. So yeah. My money is on lock of the week. John Mateer, lock of the week. Shane, give me Oklahoma, 28. Give me Mizzou, 17. I think the Sooners win it. I think they cover, and I think it's a pretty comfortable cover.
Do you think because I saw in the comments, I haven't seen the injury report. That's what I was looking for. But if Bo does play, what's your score then? Because somebody said that he's probable now.
No, it's not been updated.
Okay. All right. If he were listed, let's just say he does play. And I'm not saying he's going to, but if he does play, what do you think the score is?
28-24, Oklahoma.
Okay. All right.
They'd cover. Yeah. That'd be the difference.
Okay. All right. You just hate Missouri. So, all right. Double cousin curse, Oklahoma. You had a good run.
And here's Cousin Rusty's pick, Shane. He likes them Sooners to beat Mizzou 23-13. He likes Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
To go on the road and beat Florida 28. Oh, he actually said 28-17. I screwed up the graphic. So even a larger win here. He's got Texas, mighty Texas, Shane, beating Arkansas 41-34. How about Morristown Honda, buddy? He's got Vanderbilt, he says, 28-27 over Kentucky. He's got LSU beating Western Kentucky 31-13. Georgia beating Charlotte 49-3. Auburn beating Mercer 35-10. Alabama beating Eastern Illinois 42-7. And Texas A&M 55, Samford 3. Any of those surprise you?
You know, I thought Tennessee would win by more, but no, I think these are pretty spot on, cuz. And who am I to judge, you know, because they're probably going to continue to win. But real quick, Pete Thamel did tweet out just 9 seconds ago. Of course, you got to read his article. Let me just kind of paraphrase here. As expected, Bo has been upgraded to questionable tonight. So, I will say this: if Bo played, I think Mizzou wins the game. I think if Matt's out there, I'm still rolling Oklahoma. I said it.
Now we know Drake though; he's tricky, right? That's maybe one way to say it. I think he wants Oklahoma to think Bo's playing.
Yeah,
what I think.
Just dress him out, you know?
Well, just have to prepare for more, you know? Now, those Sooners are pretty sneaky, too. So, you need every trick in the book, you know what?
Yeah. No, this is going to be a good one. This is one I'm looking forward to. I can't wait to watch it. And it's the noon game. So, I'm looking forward to that. Probably going to, like I said, I'm trying to decide if we're going to do a watch party for this one or just jump on maybe halftime or after the game. But we'll do something around this football game, I promise you.
What would be the biggest storylines on Sunday if the games play out the way you think they are?
If they play out the way I think they are, let's see. Let me look at it here.
Kentucky-Vanderbilt, perhaps?
I don't know if that's the story, though, you know?
It'll still be Kiffin, won't it?
Yeah, still be Kiffin. Maybe probably Oklahoma, you know, solidifies their shot at the playoffs, or Tennessee in the swamp.
They certainly won't solidify it, Shane, because they still got to beat LSU.
No, I know, I know. But, I mean, they strengthen their opportunity. How about that? They're one game away home against a beat-up LSU football team. I also, I think Tennessee in the swamp would be a big one just because it's a game that hasn't happened in 29 years. I'm just making time up. 20 years, something like that.
Yeah.
22 years.
I think that I think you nailed it there at the end. I think that would be the story, but because I got Tennessee losing, the Vol Nation will not be happy with old Heupel. That's going to be the big storyline, I think.
Well, I probably should have said Vanderbilt losing. I mean, it's number 12 team in the country.
Yeah.
So Kentucky,
I tried to lead with that. You're like, nah.
I know. The problem is I'm looking at an 8.5. What is it, 8.5, 9.5 now, you know? So it wouldn't be like a huge upset, you know, for Vegas standpoint. But, yeah, that's a big one. So, yeah, I'll probably
Well, you gave Kentucky. Auburn the kiss of death, and now you've transferred it to Kentucky. So.
That's how confident I am Kentucky beats Vanderbilt. It's the fact I didn't even talk about it. So,
Well, I'll tell you who we should talk about, Shane.
Who's that?
B-Dad, he gifted RJ Fishing and Buds, and then our friend, our legend, Steven Up.
Steven Up.
Shout out, Steven Up.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
He gifted Mr. M. Thank you, Steven Up.
Thank you.
Our great friend, Glenn Warsaw. He gifted Shooting Star, cool name. And then we got Tolkien over here. He is forgiven. Right? No, he didn't have. He's making peace after Ole Miss beat Oklahoma, Shane. He gifted Sooners fan. The Drunk Tank. What a name. The Drunk Tank. He became a member. Thank you, Drunk Tank. And then Mizzou fan number 7 went wild, Shane, with 20 gifted memberships.
Thank you, Mizzou.
Mad Dog Mike, Michael Lofties, Tunka Todd, Grayson Overholt, Dylan Nix, DM Law Zaneo, probably butchered that, Ken Hyatt, Austin Rodriguez, and then he also he came back with 10 more, Shane. He gifted Michael Bradley, Trap House Boomin, cool name, Sage the One, Drewski, Safety First, Nikki Blades, Ken, Steve Tressel, Eric Reheard, and Ryan Ensues. All of y'all, welcome, courtesy
to the family,
courtesy of Mizzou fan number 7. And then, not to be outdone, Shane, the legend, JR.
The legend, cousin JR, has done it again.
He gifted Logan Hilton. Logan, welcome
to the family.
And then that crazy bastard serial killer, he became a member.
Is that why your dog's barking?
Then I think I missed... I missed a donation here. Shout out. Fire Bill, Shane. He says, if Drink's comments on NAL and schedule make me think he's leaving. If so, who's the likely next coach at Mizzou?
Next, I mean, I think we've discussed this one, Fire Bill. The longer we go, the more I want Gundy. I want somebody polarizing. Gundy. Make the mullet good again.
Here's the problem. You keep saying Gundy for all these.
Yeah, he's not even on the list.
He doesn't like believe in NIL. I don't think you can do that anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, I think once you're unemployed, you'll start changing your tune, you know? It gives you a little time to think about it, you know?
That's true. That's a very good point.
I want to shout out this one here, Mike. Ole Miss, and we are paying attention to this. Emergency pod after Kiffin meeting, be ready. We will be ready. So be sure to have those notifications on, and if anything comes of that, we'll definitely be jumping on.
Corporate Duck, Rocky Top gets it done, Shane Boomer.
Hell yeah. It's a duck pull of truck.
Valanahada, I want Prapula to play. There's no excuse.
Boomer.
Pop goes the culture. Would Ole Miss drop in the rankings if Kiffin leaves before the playoff? How about that, Shane? So that's going around, too, where apparently the committee can take that into account. So, yeah, I think they could.
Yeah, I mean, they've done it for quarterbacks. Why wouldn't they do it for head coaching? And I will say Still, Ole Miss should be in a pretty good spot, but that Mississippi State, that Egg Bowl, by God, that one's turning into a must-win game. I think it's still a must-win, even if Lane stays.
Yeah. Hey, update on the injury report, Shane. R. Mason Thomas.
Yeah.
Officially listed as questionable.
Ooh.
For Oklahoma, same as Bo Prabula. So, honestly, I don't think we see either one of those guys.
Yeah. What about down there in Florida?
Shout out real quick. Texas linebacker, outstanding linebacker, Anthony Hill, questionable as well. I believe that's the same as yesterday. Mm-hmm. Shane, he's worried about these Gators. VBP, Vernell Brown, questionable for the Gators receiver. Now, they've got about 15 guys on out. So,
yeah,
a lot of guys out there. Tennessee, running back Peyton Lewis and offensive lineman Wendell Moe, both questionable for Tennessee going to the Swamp. And then Kentucky, still questionable. Linebacker Alex Afari and Khalil Sanders, defensive lineman. So those are some impact players there for the Wildcats.
Nice. Nice.
Florida playing the scout team, and they'll still win. You know what?
I know. Hat. I get it.
Anything else, buddy, before we hop off the line?
Nope. Thank you for hitting the thumbs up on your way out. Appreciate that. Cost $0 to do it. And like I said, keep those notifications on. We may potentially have some Kiffin news tomorrow. If you haven't checked out, wonderful interview with Trey over there with Mike. It is posted, so be sure to check that out. Today's shout-outs, thank you, JP, for putting this together, goes to Boomer B-Dad, Steven Up, Glenn Warsaw, Tolkien, Fire Marshal Bill, Mr. Sip, Mizzou Fan Number 7, Cousin JR, Serial Killer, JDWDE, Corporate Duck, Cousin Rick, Bala Nahara, Carl Judkins, Chase Moore, and Pop Goes the Culture. So thank you, JP. Thank you all for hanging out. And I look forward to seeing you guys sooner than later.
And one more interview dropping on Friday. So be on the lookout for that. Stay locked in on the channel. Like, subscribe, share. Thank you so much. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.